Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. So glad that you are along with us. And we're ready to talk some college football, as always, with Husker great Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Jason, it's a pleasure to have you on again.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing great. It's certainly been a very crazy week. Always look forward to talking some college football with you. And before we kind of relive, you know, Nebraska was on the road last week, Penn State, I do want to talk about the good news. How about TCU going on the road and, you know, knocks off unbeaten Boise State by 1 point? It was such a huge win for them.
Yeah, Andy who? I think that's the big thing coming out of this game. When you have a guy like Andy Dalton, and I think people have been able to see what he's done in the NFL and what an impact he had at TCU. Those were big shoes to fill, and you never want to be the guy that follows the guy. That's kind of just whether you're a coach or whether you're a quarterback, but Casey Paul Hall, I guess, has never heard of that phrase because he continues to go out and perform at a high level, and I know he went out and had a bunch of career bests. I think he threw for over 450, 470 yards,
yes,
something, five TDs, and they needed a little help there at the end from Boise's kicker, but it was a game well-deserved for TCU and Gary Patterson. I know this season got off to a rocky start, but it seems like they've kind of found their groove, and the quarterback has found his groove, and you know, it's not a shock to me with TCU, though. Gary Patterson continues to put great teams out there, and year after year after year.
You know, and it is amazing because you talk about that, you know, the loss against Baylor only by 2 points, and then, of course, you know, losing to SMU. Those losses were really deceptive because they were very close. One was in overtime, and you can never underestimate this TCU program and, of course, Gary Patterson and what he has been able to accomplish throughout the year. He just continues to reload because, yeah, you're talking about their quarterback, Casey Paul-Hall. Defensively, they certainly have had their struggles this year. They seem to get that all worked out, but also, you know, with their running backs. I mean, it just seems like every slot – they've got it covered.
Yeah, and let's not forget, I mean, they went into Boise and beat Boise on their home field. I think they had the longest winning streak at home. I think they were around 65 games. And I know at Nebraska in those 90s years, we had, I think, about 47. We were just short of catching Miami. But that when a team has that type of edge playing at home, and clearly Boise has over the years. I mean, you're talking about 10 seasons there without losing at home. So for TCU to go in there and beat them on their blue turf, it's more than just a win. You know, this was not a game played on a neutral site. I was at that poinsettia bowl a few years ago when TCU
That's right.
beat Boise. But, you know, this was going into somebody else's home and basically stealing their lunch money.
You know, and Boise State's head coach Chris Peterson, he said it best, you know, TCU has a good team. Don't let the two losses against Baylor and SMU, don't let it fool you. Those guys are good. And his guys knew that going in, that they couldn't overlook it. And, man, it was a game that just went down to the wire. And like you're talking about, I mean, playing on the road, it was survival of the fittest, and they just gritted it out. And that shows a lot of character about this team. And that's why folks here in Fort Worth are so excited, and even throughout the state of Texas.
Yeah, and when you talk about the two losses, I mean, anytime you have a young team, anytime you have a young quarterback, there are going to be some bumps in the road.
He's only a sophomore, too, Casey Paul. I mean, only a sophomore.
Yeah, he's not the first young quarterback to lose a game or two. So, you know, it just takes a little bit of time for a new group of guys, the new group of receivers that are getting the ball from a new quarterback, and there's just a cohesiveness that has to form from the lineman to the quarterback to the receiver to the running backs. There's a whole timing issue, and the same thing on defense when you're talking about a new defensive tackle, playing with a new defensive end, running those inline games. It's stuff that it just takes time, the blitzing, when they're going to fool and when they hit the line, when they go to hit that gap, if they are blitzing. I mean, there's just a lot of things that go into it where the only real element that you have in order to perfect that trade, that craft, whether it's offense or defense, is time and repetition and practice. And obviously, if you're an older guy, you've had more repetitions and more practices. But if you're a young guy, obviously it's not the case. So game experience, once those guys continue to get that under their belt, they'll just continue to shine.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. He's breaking it all down. We wanted to start off with the good news, and that, of course, was TCU's big win last weekend against Boise State. But we do have to shift avenues, and we are a little limited on time today, JP. But, you know, we have seen throughout the years college football, it's had its share of scandals, but nothing as reprehensible and shameful as the Penn State scandal. It certainly was a sad day. You and I, we didn't get a chance to talk last weekend in regards to Nebraska playing Penn State, but I did want you to weigh in on this. What's been your reaction, and what was the pulse of the Husker fans? What did you hear from them? Because I know you're on the radio out there as well in Lincoln. What kind of feedback did you get from them as they prepared to take on Penn State?
Yeah, there was. I mean, first off, you can't imagine. I mean, words just can't describe. I think every feeling that I think most human beings had when hearing about this story, and to think that this is happening at a major Division I football program. You know, I think when you're a kid and you're getting recruited and you're 17 years old and coaches are sitting in your living room and they're telling you to come to their university because they're gonna turn you into a good human being and a good man that your parents would be proud of. And who would think that one of the guys that's sitting in that room with a Penn State logo on is molesting and raping young boys? I mean, it's just words can't describe. I think the anger and just how let down I'm sure so many people are at this guy's actions. Penn State, you know, you hate to, I think, throw everybody into one giant bowl, but unfortunately, I think there's going to be this black eye on the University of Penn State for a long time. And I think time is the only thing that will eventually heal. I think the people who work at Penn State and the students and, you know, the kids that will eventually go there. But as far as the Nebraska side of it, I know there was concern going out there, especially after the riots that they had the night that they fired Joe Paterno.
I found that incredibly bizarre.
Yeah. And you know, that was hard for me to watch, too, because here you have, at the time, it was, I think, 10 victims, and the next morning when you woke up, there was reportedly 20 victims that had come out, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more. Eventually, I think, as a lot of these victims see that this is an ongoing case and that it seems like they're building a case and they're going to prosecute, it's not going to be something that falls through the cracks. I imagine that there's going to be more people that come out and say that this guy did this to me as well. But, yeah, it was just an unfortunate situation. I know that Bo Pelini, in his post-game interview, he said he didn't feel like the game should have been played, that there was a much bigger issue at hand other than a football game. And that's true, but I'm not real sure where I fall on that. I think you have a lot of young men and coaches, current coaches, that have worked hard to prepare and not to say again that the football game is greater than this tragedy that's happened. It clearly isn't. But, you know, I'd hate to say that the show must go on, but, you know, they ended up going out there, and they played a decent football game. I wouldn't say they played a full four quarters, but it seems like part of the offense is starting to come around maybe a little bit. The defense is playing a little bit better, but they just got to kind of find they got to find that rhythm for a full four quarters.
We've only got about 60 seconds left with Jason Peter this weekend on the Big East Sports Show, and I do want to ask you one additional question about Penn State. And Jason, we can, as the weeks come along, you know, we can talk some more about this, but what do you think it'll take to restore order and to get that trust back? Obviously, they made the step in the right direction by letting go their head coach.
You know, normally with any type of controversy or adversity, usually, I hate to say this, winning kind of cures everything. I don't think that's the case with this. I think Penn State could rip off a national championship next year, and I still think that they've got a major black cloud hanging over their head. I don't know. I think they're going to have to start by probably clearing house at the end of this year. I think they're going to have to kind of have a fresh start. They're going to have new faces around there and give this image that this is not the Joe Paterno Penn State. This is a new program, and we're headed in a new direction, and we don't want you to remember any of that, or we don't want to be associated with any of that. But I just think it will take some time for people to forgive.
It's definitely been very disturbing, all these shocking revelations, and we will have to see how it continues to unfold. JP, we certainly appreciate you coming on. I hate that we had such a short segment, but we definitely will catch up with you next week.
That's all right. Thanks for having me on, E.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.